Today, Pastor Jerry Seawright challenges us about our prayer life through the eyes of the Apostle Paul. More importantly than simply praying, we need to have a proper understanding about what and why we should pray. And now, Pastor Seawright comes from Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 20, in a sermon entitled, Prayer for the Right Things. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
I show y'all, if y'all come out to bowling, when I bowl that first 300 game. All right, 250. And in addition to that, I'm excited about that outing, and I'm also excited about this coming movie night. Started to order me one of those chairs that Julian has, Elder Julian has, where it's got the tray on it and drink holder. And, you know, just to make sure I have a whole, like a bunch of room for my Laffy Taffys. Amen. But let's get to this word here. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 20. Let me say this. It's my prayer that if you are in right standing with God, that this will point you to the fact that you have an awesome resource. Let me say that if you are not in right standing with God, my prayer is that you get there through this passage, that you examine yourself and you see exactly where you stand. My prayer is that if you are just in a state of praying for someone that is outside the ark, God, I pray that this passage is encouraging to you to keep on praying, to keep on seeking, to keep on passionately praying for that one, be it family, co-worker, outside of the ark of God. So that's my prayer today. So if you have Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 14 through 20, you'll note just by the title that I actually spoke on this before. This is a message that I came to you all before, and I just tweaked it a little bit. Like I told you all last week, I just came with a couple of messages that I came with before just to fill in that gap so that the new series will begin with Tuesday night Bible study. So, Ephesians 3rd chapter, verse 14 through 20, says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Wow. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. My God. Wow. Wow. Have you noticed, by way of introduction, how much of life is all about division and just separation? And that's just part of our fallen nature. For example, a sweet, adorable infant seems to instantly turn into those terrible twos, wanting his or her way, trying to exert their will. I've seen this even in Sugarloaf. And then you grow up, and they grow up, and all of a sudden they hit the junior high schoolers' age, and they determine at some point that it's not even cool to be around you as a parent. They don't want you there. They don't want you around. You're not cool. You're just not cool. But then it goes on, because even past high school and college and everything else, all of a sudden it becomes where this tear and this separation and this division comes from a social aspect. Socially, you don't want to be here, but you want to be here. Your level of influence, you want to be here. You don't want to be here. Popularity, you definitely don't want to be here. You want to be here. And it's just this division and this separation that is going on here. Even today in our government, we see a lot of separation going on. I can't recall a time in which Democrats and Republicans fight so much. It's just battle after battle after battle, this separation thing that's going on. Well, God's ultimate plan from the beginning was to bring us together to him first. To bring us together to him first. No more being apart, but united. And the theme of this Ephesian letter or book is how Christ united heaven to earth, and how he united Jews to Gentiles. In fact, it says that this was the great mystery that folks were looking for and looking for God to reveal, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery of bringing us all together, that we are all heirs of Christ. That's the purpose of the letter. To show that God's plan from the get-go was to bring us all together to him, and then bring us together with one another. Oneness. Oneness. No more jealousy. No more envy. No more competition. No more separation. No more brokenness among us. But it is bringing us together. Together. You know, I was reading a list of what successful people said that you need in order to be successful. And one of the things, if it wasn't first on the list, it was definitely in the midst, was passion. You have to have passion. And Paul prayed passionately, because he knew that this purpose that God had set in place, boy, it needed some prayer when you're looking at us. Talking about bringing us together, you better pray passionately, earnestly, right? With some passion in there. Passion. Passion shows that you are invested. It shows that you care. Now, don't confuse passion with motivation. See, passion is loving what you do, where motivation is the reason behind you do what you do. See, it's kind of circular, if you will, and they feed off of one another. Passion and motivation, doing what you love to do, and then that reason why you do what you do. Now, oneness was the goal here. And Paul prayed this prayer with passion. This letter was more like a message or a sermon when you read it. And Paul was preaching oneness in Christ. The point, his point was oneness. Oneness, starting with God the Father. If you look even from the beginning of this section here, you'll see that it points to oneness, because he said in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." He didn't say fathers. He said Father, which means he is the Father of all of us, right? "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Now, little note on the side. Note that he didn't say under the earth. See, we disagree with the whole premise of purgatory. He said in heaven and on earth, right? And he said Father, not fathers. All of us have the same Father. We are all together with the same Father. God does not have stepchildren. So all of this here and wanting to be better and wanting to be the best Christian ever, and everybody else is down here. No. God doesn't have favorites, right? You're not his pet. It's us being one, and that's what Paul was trying to emphasize here. Oneness, that's the mission. Unity is the mission. And also when he said Father, the other thing that he points to is that God wanted to have a relationship with us that was intimate and loving and caring as well. He was going to be available to us. You know, when you go in the Old Testament, you see how you could not go to God in the Holy of Holies. But now all of a sudden, God is available and accessible to us. So he was pointing the fact that we have that access to God now. He wants that relationship with us. He's not only our creator, but he wants to be our Father as well. You know, unlike these earthly characters down here that helps to create you, and then they go, and that's all their contribution, right? But he is the one that comes in and he's there for you time and time again. But because he loves you and wants to be with you and wants you to be with him, that doesn't mean he doesn't have standards. Right? That doesn't mean he doesn't have a standard. He has standards. And if you put it in our vernacular, God has relationship goals. Right? He has relationship goals. If he was to post his on Instagram or whatever, his goal would be ye holy, for I am holy. That would be his tag, right? You can't come to him any kind of a way. He wants you to be holy, for he is holy. You have standards. He has standards too that are more perfect and pure. Amen? So, Paul comes and he's saying that, you know, this thing needs prayer. This oneness, this unity, it needs prayer. And what I'm going to pray about is his will. It's his will all throughout his word. Paul is consistent throughout the Old Testament that his will is for us to be together. One. So that's why Paul said, you know, I need to passionately pray for their strength. I need to pray for their strength. And strength is basically that quality in which you are sensitive to right and wrong. He wants you to make sure that you become more sensitive to right and wrong. And the way you become sensitive to right and wrong is in your reasoning and in your heart with your conscience and your will. He wanted you to reason within yourself the rightness of being one. He wanted your heart to be sensitive to the fact that oneness is the goal. And he wanted you to will oneness as well. That's why he said, I want them to be strengthened in the inner man. Because believe it or not, division doesn't start from without. That division starts from within, right? Because a lot of times, most times, when you bring yourself to the party, it's a lot of messed up stuff that is actually going on, and then you contributed a lot to other folks. See, you need to flip it and get yourself unified first. From within, amen? And he said this in regards to that oneness in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, not according to the riches that you have or I have, but the riches according to his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. That's the issue. That's the issue. That's, matter of fact, that's the heart of the matter, believe it or not. That you are distracted with we are distracted with so many passions that are in us. I give you an example, and last time I gave this example when I was preaching. If God's power and his richness is in power that is available to us is unlimited, then how limited is the room in your heart for that to operate? Do you hear me? If his unlimited power just have this much of your heart, then look at how much that limits that power. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Because what I'm saying is that, you know, we want him to dwell within us. That's what it says in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell within us. And last time I said that means he wants your heart to be his home. But when your home is not company clean, right? That means it's cluttered spaces. And he comes in and you invite him in, and on the throne of your heart is Snicker wrappers and all other passions there. And he can't just sit down. Because you got so many other things going on that throne. And talk about working out your salvation in the workout room. Well, on that treadmill, if you will, where you're working out your own salvation, it's kind of like just a hanger for clothes and that outfit that you had on yesterday in the outfit that you had on last week and the outfit that you had on last month. And you've been looking for it all day long and you wonder where it's at. Well, it's on that treadmill where you're supposed to be working out your own salvation, but it ain't being used. You understand what I'm saying? It's not company clean. In every compartment, he wants to fill and he wants to be master of every part. You know, and that company clean thing, that's something that is known around the Seawright house. It's not like we dirty folks, but it's just that you got to step it up a little bit when company comes over. Right? I mean, there's Seawright clean for every day, but then there's company clean. Right? It's company clean. See, the last thing I want to do is say somebody that's not familiar with the house saying, where's the bathroom? And you say, oh, it's okay, you turn there, it's the first door across from there. And then all of a sudden they end up in the dun 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 because they missed that turn. They missed that turn. They missed that turn. Told them to turn. I tell you to see the treadmill. Right? I told you to go this way. Or when they say, oh, when somebody say, wait, now where's the fork? Just get one out of the second drawer to the left. There, that's where we keep the forks. Second drawer to the left. And then all of a sudden they go there and it's dun dun dun. All the junk and mail and batteries and old phones and stuff. Company clean. God wants your house to be company clean. Because Jesus wants every crevice. The Holy Spirit wants every crevice of that heart. And then when he gets every crevice of that heart, then you can truly live in that power that God has provided. But if you limited him and you wondering where your power, wonder working power is, and you only gave him about this much room, and you wonder why you're so weak and defeated and everything, that's because you haven't given him your heart. Give him your heart. Give him your heart. Amen. But then he goes on, he says, I want to also pray for their knowledge. I want to pray for their knowledge now. And he says, knowledge of love. Do you really know how much God loves you? Man, sometimes I just wish that I could just have that Wonder Woman thing and just whip around and bind somebody. And if God's love was oatmeal, I'll just force feed it to him. Because you don't really realize how much God loves you. He loves you so much. And this love, according to John, the 13th chapter and the 34th verse, is our badge as Christians, right? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This thing is about unity. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's about oneness and unity here. He goes on in our text in verse 17, the last part of it, he says, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. That rooted is like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water that shall not be moved, that your roots go deep in his love. I want you to know the love that he has for you so that you shall not be moved. And it's just like that grounded is like that house we talked about last week where you're well built. You're well built. And when the winds and the rains and everything else come your way, you shall not be moved. You can stand on that love that God has given you. He loves you so, so much. He loves you so much. That's why he wanted to for you all to understand in verse 18, he says, I just want them to get how this love is, because with all the saints, I want them to know what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. You know, Stott says this. He says, Yet it seems to me legitimate to say that the love of Christ is broad enough to encompass all mankind, long enough to last for eternity, deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner, and high enough to exalt them up to heaven. The broad and long and deep and height love of God. You know, I said this before and I say it again. Love and justice had a conversation. They had a conversation. God is love, but God is also just. And he had to somehow reconcile that. That love and justice, they had to come to terms where they both would be satisfied. And they had somewhat of a conversation. And justice came saying, you know, all have fallen short. All have fallen short. They have sinned and they've fallen short. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. And the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall surely die. Justice said they should die, they should die, they should die, they should die. That's what justice said. But love was sitting across and said, hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. Because he quoted Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5. He said, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. That's what love answered. But justice came back saying, okay, love. Okay, let's really discuss the terms of this contract that you're proposing, right? Let's discuss this thing. Now, let's discuss the width or the broad, how broad this thing is. Because, see, there's a bunch of fornicators. There's a bunch of idolaters, adulterers and homosexuals and thieves and drunkards and liars, and the whole world seems to be like just littered with them. So let's discuss how broad you are talking about. And love says this: do you believe that I came to the table with some kind of crazy plan that wasn't well thought out? Huh? Do you believe that I came trying to scheme them in? No. From eternity past, I called them. I regenerated them. I will. And once by faith they repent, I will justify them. I will adopt them. I will sanctify them. And I will eventually glorify them. I want all the ones that will come to me. That's how broad my love is. All of them can come to me. Right? And then he said, well, okay. Justice said, well, how long are you talking about? I mean, what's the extent of time are you talking about here, love? I mean, come on now. You're talking about it till like 2020? What are you talking about? And love says, because I am love, that I'm necessarily, inherently, and eternally love, I want them all forever and ever and ever. Amen. And he put the amen on it. I want him forever and ever. That's how long love wants to keep you. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. And then justice comes back and says, okay, now how deep are your pockets? How deep are your pockets? Because you're going to have to pay for this thing. You know, how deep will you go? Because the wages of sin is death. So how deep are you going to go? Well, in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 8, it says, prepare for me a body. and I will go down for them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. And justice says, okay, how high you want to go here? Love. How high you want to go? And love responds, and he goes on and responds, just like Paul had to shout about in the second chapter of Ephesians in verse six, starting with verse six. He says, this is how high I want him to go. I want him to go all the way to heaven. Listen to what Paul was rejoicing about. He said in verse 6, second chapter of Ephesians, he says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in all the ages, right, to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. No one can boast. That's how high he has taken us, to where we will be seated with him in heaven. My God. But lastly, he goes on and he talks about the fullness. He says, I want to pray that they understand the fullness of this love. The fullness of what you've done, Lord. The fullness of what you've done. And he goes on and he says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I like how the King James, New King James Version reads, because it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Wow. You're talking about being full. You're talking about the love of Christ being full. He wants us to know that full love of God. And he kept on putting on stuff after stuff. Paul was just saying, how can I express the fullness of God's love? I just can't say, now unto him praising. Now, I got to just go and layer this thing, just like McDonald said. McDonald said, I got to layer it. He says, able to do. I can't stop there. Yes, he's able to do. Now unto him who is able to do what we ask. I can't stop there. I just can't stop. Now unto him who is able to do what we think or ask. I can't stop there. Now unto him who is able to do all that we ask or think. I can't stop there. Now unto him who is able to do above all that we ask or think. I can't stop there. Now unto him who is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do the utmost. So if you do have someone that is weighing in the balance and you've been praying and praying and praying for them, God is able to do the utmost. Don't stop praying for them. And in your situation, when you have been challenged with things, you serve a God that can do above, abundantly, all that you can ask or think. This is the power that is available to you. So when these situations down here come and they face you and they try to rock and shake you, you have a God that, if you just bask in the fullness of his love, if you just live in the fullness of his love, if you just give him your heart and don't partition it, you know, one for you and one for me, God, and one for room for you and one. No, give him your whole heart. And once you give him your whole heart, then you can see all the power that he has available for you to live. And then you will see exceedingly and abundantly above all That's when you'll start seeing that. So my prayer to the church and my prayer for the church is not only that you know in strength, I should say, my prayer is for your strength so that you can know the love of God and that you can be full of that love so that you can share it with others and that it can bring us together. All this nonsense about division and separation and competition and who's on, who's who and who's what. That nonsense does not even need to be existing in the church. What needs to be is that we need to be together, together, oneness and together. But first, you got to be together yourself. You got to get this together, so that your actions will be together and they will show that you belong to him. And then you will be able to say, like Paul here, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And guess what? It won't be about your willpower. It'll be according to the power that works in you. And that's God's power. So whatever your challenges are, whatever you are faced with, don't try to come its way with your little sword looking like a toothpick. Don't try to life challenges on guard with your toothpick. No. Get that big sword of God. And you're standing on the word of God. And that can wipe out all of those challenges. And that will help you to face all of those challenges. Get it together in here so that we can get it together out here. Amen. Amen. Get it together. So as I stated, that was the whole purpose of this message today, was to preach that oneness that Paul was preaching about and to encourage those who do stand on the word to show you that whatever you're going through, the challenges that you're going through, you have this awesome resource. And to those who are outside of that ark, you need to get in. This is an awesome resource that you are just like passing away. You need to get in. And for those who have been praying, for those who are just weighing in the balance, keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on seeking, because he can do abundantly more than you ask or think by faith. Come to him, and we have those who are here that are able to just help you in that decision. And we ask them to come up now. If you want prayer, if you want guidance, if you want to turn your life around, we have those altar workers now available to you. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter @NLCCPontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.